If you have your Bibles, can you turn with me to Psalm 55? For the past 3 weeks, we've been talking about gospel renewal and spiritual renewal, and we are using the Psalms to help us through that. In the Psalms, you have different writers speaking from a negative place, different ways of suffering or struggling, and through the Psalms you see how they deal with that and bring themselves to a place of spiritual renewal. And so we're continuing to look at the Psalms here, and today we're looking at Psalm 55, and we'll be reading the whole chapter. Can we all stand in reverence for the word? Psalm 55. And the Holy Spirit says to us, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I'm restless in my complaint, and I moan because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. For it is not an enemy who taunts me. Then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me. Then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house we walked in the throng. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive, for evil is in their dwelling place and in their heart. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them, he who is enthroned from of old, because they do not change and do not fear God. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you." Let's pray. O God, thank you for this word, an honest word. O Lord, how we come with many burdens on our hearts. And Lord, we learn to bring them to you. And we pray that even as we hear your word, that you're renewing us, you're strengthening us, and you're encouraging us. Lord, we pray for your spirit to work mightily through your word at this time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think many of you know that I like to study at coffee shops, so I'm at coffee shops a lot. And many of you also know this. I like to eavesdrop on people's conversations as well. I just can't help myself. I want to know what people are talking about. And if I were to think about what is perhaps the most thing that, the most common thing that people are talking about, it would actually be complaining. I hear a lot of complaining. coming from people, and no judgments, because I complain with the best of them. I'm a complainer too. I think if we kept track for maybe 1 week, we'd be surprised how much we complain. And this is not a kid's problem or a children's problem. This is an adult problem too. I may not even have to tell you. You already know you have a complaining problem. We complain. I will say this, not all complaining is bad. Some complaining perhaps is legitimate. I think there are some burdens that are so serious and so heavy that complaining is understandable. The fact is that there rarely is ever a week that goes by without some kind of burden weighing on us. I think we're all waiting and hoping for that day when everything is going well, that we're hitting on all cylinders, that life is like a well-oiled machine. But honestly, that day may never come. And in this psalm, we find David, he is weighed down by burdens. He has complaints in his heart. And we learn in the psalm how, in a time of heavy burdens, we can find relief and how we can find renewal. Now, from the outset, we can feel the heavy burdens of David, can't we? He says that he is restless. He cannot relax. There's something that is weighing on him, that constantly burdens him. I can imagine him dealing with a flood of thoughts every hour about how and when this burden will go away. How do you know that you're burdened? You are restless. It's hard to relax on your free time. You have trouble sleeping at night. There's something that is always pressing on your mind. We find David, he's also complaining and moaning. Moaning is perhaps a nonverbal complaining. And heavy burdens do that to us. It does lead to complaining. It does lead to that nonverbal complaining of moaning and sighing. And we also see that for David, he wishes to fly away. It's interesting, isn't it? Verse 6 and 7. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. It reminds me of those Southwest commercials, right? Want to get away? That's exactly how David is feeling. And is that how you're feeling these days? That you just wish you could get away or you could fly away? That you could escape from everything? What are your burdens, brothers and sisters, today? You know, for David, the heavy burden that he carries is deeply personal. If you look at verse 12, we see what the issues are. He says, "For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend." Who is David's enemy that he's crying out about? It was someone who was once his friend, his personal friend, who he had fellowship with. But the friend had betrayed him, and his friend had turned into an enemy. If you know a little history about King David, it could very well be Ahithophel, who was his counselor, who betrayed him over to his son Absalom's side during the time of the rebellion. Perhaps it was Ahithophel that he's talking about here. And are any of you in the same boat as David? That maybe your burden lies close to you, and that's why it's actually so heavy. You know, it's sad, but so much of the mistreatment and pain that we have, it comes from people that are close to us. It's our family, and it's our friends. Sometimes even it's our church members. You know, some of you, you may have a very painful past as it relates to family and friends. You know, I think about divorce. I think divorce is one of those heavy burdens that people bear. It is, in some sense, a kind of betrayal. You know, you have one person and their actions, they're breaking up the whole family. You know, in divorce, it's like, okay, I thought we had an agreement that, you know, we love each other, and then that goes away. I think about loved ones who leave the faith or who compromise their faith. It's interesting when that happens because all of a sudden, there's an immediate divide in the family, isn't there? Or among your friends. And not only is there a divide, there's a tension there. You find that you're not on the same side anymore. And that could be so unsettling and actually so painful. Maybe for some of you, it's you've experienced an outright betrayal. That at some point with someone that you're close to, you realize that the relationship was not what you thought it was. And suddenly they just started ignoring you. Or they abandoned you, or maybe even they attacked you. We have heavy burdens. And if we don't handle our heavy burdens well, it can take a toll on us spiritually. And in a lot of different ways, depending on who you are. For some of us, when we don't handle our burdens well, it leads to depression. When our burdens involve massive disappointment or painful hurt, we can become disillusioned about life. And then we lose hope. We lose motivation in our life and in faith. And we start saying, why bother trying? Why bother moving on? Why bother giving an effort? And maybe you feel this way, where you feel like life is just dragging you every week, and you're barely getting through every week. For some of us, when the burdens come and they're heavy, we get angry. And sometimes that comes out by way of revenge. Somebody hurt us, and we want to even the score. We're going to hurt them. For others, sometimes we're angry at God, and the way we deal with that is rebellion. And we think, you know, life is horrible, might as well act horrible. Sometimes it's anger. For some of us, it's escape. You actually do try to fly away. You don't want to deal with the issue because it hurts too much, because the wounds are too deep. So you use weekends to fly away, or vacations to fly away. You drink to fly away. A more subtle form of escape is busyness. It's interesting, with busyness, it looks like you're living life when you're actually escaping life. You know, our heavy burdens take a toll on us, and we need to be careful. It can take us down a really bad, destructive path. I think another one is cynicism. Because when burdens come, what do? We usually complain. And as we complain and nothing happens or changes, either to us or to the situation, it easily leads to cynicism. And cynicism, it's a kind of hardening of the heart. And when your heart is hardened, you begin to distance yourself from God. You stop hoping, you stop caring, and you become an unpleasant person. For some of us, maybe that's the road we head to. And maybe you're finding yourself now, you're becoming more and more cynical. Now, all of this is not rigid, and this is what I mean. It's not like so one person fits in one category and another person fits in another category. No. We often go back and forth between a lot of those. You know, we go from being depressed, you know, to being angry, to, you know, escaping, and then becoming cynical. And sometimes it depends on the day. Sometimes it depends on the hour and we move back and forth between all these things. We need to be aware that heavy burdens in our lives, and we all have them, they can take us down into a spiritual pit if we're not careful. But what I love about this psalm is it helps us through these things. Now, what do we learn from the psalmist? What do we learn from David? Well, like a traditional pastor, I have 3 points for you. And the first one is to call to God, or calling on God. The opening lines of the psalm teach us that right away. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Verse 2, attend to me and answer me. And what I think is the turning point in verse 16, what does he say? But I call to God. I've been so painfully hurt and betrayed, but I call to God. Calling on God is that transformative turning point for all of us when we are burdened. Are you heavy burdened? And are you looking for relief? Are you looking for breakthrough? And do you want to know what the practical steps are to get out of it? Let me tell you, it's to call on God. It's to go to God. Bring Him into your heart. Bring Him into your situation. For whatever reason, we often neglect or overlook this basic move to call on God. I don't know why. Maybe because it's too simplistic for us. You know, or maybe it's too abstract or too religious for us. But for whatever reason, that seems to be perhaps the last thing we do. You know, it reminds me of Naaman the leper. He goes to Elijah in the hopes of being cured of his leprosy. So he comes, and Elisha doesn't even come out. He sends a messenger, and he says, yeah, tell him to go into the Jordan River, dip in it 7 times, and he'll come out clean. Naaman should have been like, yeah, oh my goodness, okay, he told me to do that, I'm going to come out clean. Instead, Naaman, he gets angry. He's like, what? Elisha's not going to come out? And he's not going to stand and wave his hands and call on God? You know, he was looking for something a little bit more spectacular. It was too simplistic for him. He's like, surely there's more to it. And sometimes we feel that way. Oh, you know, these heavy burdens, how do I find relief? How do I find renewal? There's got to be like 5 steps to it. We got to call on God. I don't know if that's too simple for you. But that's always the turning point. Calling to God. Have you yet called on God? Some of us, we haven't done that yet. David's faith, it drives him to call on God. He says, the Lord will save me. He will save me. He redeems my soul in safety. So his faith drives him to pray all day, to pray persistently, evening, morning, and noon. Now notice why he prays persistently. Is it because he's not sure if God's really listening? So, hey, I gotta be persistent here. No. The reason why David is persistent in prayer is actually because he knows that God hears him. He knows God hears him. Prayer is not this attempt to try to bend the will of God, bend the will of a reluctant God your way. Bend the will of a reluctant God who is examining you to see if you're really worthy of a reply or an answer. No, prayer, I've said this before, prayer is taking hold of the heart of God who loves you and who hears you and who is eager to answer you. So we have things all distorted in our minds. We feel like we have to persuade God. No, we have to take hold of God. And so that's the rich theology that David has that causes him to be persistent in prayer. It's because he hears, and it's because he answers. Now, this is David, who in his life only saw Jesus from a shadowy distance. Jesus hasn't come yet. Jesus is still 1,000 years away. So David can only see Jesus from a distance, and yet this is the way he speaks. He will save me. He's redeemed my soul. And because he has this kind of faith in God, he calls on God, knowing God hears. Now, if this is David, who didn't see the full glory of Jesus, how much more, brothers and sisters, us? How much more should we have those spiritual instincts to be calling on God right away? Because we have seen Jesus. We have seen the full glory of Jesus. We have seen that he lived for us, and he suffered for us, and he bled for us, and he died for us, and he was raised on the third day for us. We've seen so much more than David saw. He is our Savior. He saved us. David's like, he will save me. I see it from a distance. We can say he has saved me. I've seen it in all its glory and in all its splendor. Yes, I will call on him. He loves me. Jesus cares for my soul and he cares about the burdens of my soul. Yes, I will call to him. Let us call to him. So David calls to him, but the second thing is, he calls to God, he also complains to God. Does that surprise you? That being one of the points. That in addition to calling on God, that we are to complain to God. Look at the honesty in this prayer. David has these complaints and he dares to bring them to God. He basically says, God, I got these complaints that I want to put before you. It's not a neat, clean prayer. And if we've learned anything from the Psalms, it's this, that we can be very honest with God, that we can pour out our hearts to him, the things that our hearts ache about. Our problem is that I think we're too robotic in our prayers, and we're too, dare I say this, too righteous in our prayers, and that's why our prayers are so stilted and stiff and not as life-giving as they ought to be. I remember talking to one of my relatives. We were having a meal together. The relative is not a believer, and they were concerned about their flight, and I think catching their connecting flight or something like that. And of course, I'm the designated prayer person in our family because I'm the pastor, so I'm always praying. So I prayed before the meal, and I prayed for his flight. I prayed that he'd catch his flight, and he'd have a safe flight and all those things. Anyways, we had a follow-up conversation later on, and he said to me, Andy, I remember you praying about my flight. Does God really care about those things? I mean, doesn't he have bigger things to be worried about? We shouldn't really bother him with things like catching our flight. But I told him, well, did that worry you? Did that bother you? Was that something that was consuming you? Then it's something that you should pray for. Sometimes we're too righteous. You know, we have this request about praying for the exam coming up. And we can't pray for it because we think it's too small compared to world hunger. So we got to start there. And then you never get to the prayer that you're really anxious about. Let's pray for world hunger, but we can also pray for the small stuff. We can bring all our stuff to God. God wants our hearts, even if it's full of complaints. Now, is complaining good? No. The psalm is not encouraging complaining. The psalm is encouraging what to do with our complaining. And so the point being, complain to God, the emphasis is on to God. Complain to God. That's the emphasis. For whatever reason, when we pray, I think we leave the gospel at the door. But what I mean by that is we forget about the gospel. And so we feel like we have to bring our righteousness to God when we pray. And so we have to pray properly. Our prayer has to be an articulate prayer, and it has to be a very unselfish prayer. And certainly no complaints allowed in prayer. But we forget that everything in our lives has a gospel shape to it, and prayer also has a gospel shape to it. Prayer is an act of dependence. So this is what I mean. We can come to God in our weakness. We can come to God in our complaints. We don't have to have everything together. We don't have to have our thoughts all fully sanctified when we pray. Can we complain to God? Yes. Bring your complaints to God. God doesn't turn away a complaining heart. Look at verse 17. I love it. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan. And what? He hears my voice. You think, and I utter my complaint, and God is done with me, and he turns away. He doesn't like hearing complaints. I utter my complaint, and God, you hear my voice. That's our God. He will hear us, even our complaining hearts. There is a place for venting in the Christian life, and it's in prayer. It's our safe place to vent. It's our sanctifying place. And may it be the first place that you go to, not the last. What do we do with our complaining? We keep it in our hearts. And so it just stays there and it grows in our hearts and it poisons our hearts. And if we don't do that, we're complaining to other people. Oh, my boss did this and he did that. My family member did this. But our complaints never reach God. They never go to God. I know that's my problem. It's probably some of your problems too. We just don't bring them to God. And God, in some sense, invites us to bring our complaints to him. You know, when we don't complain to God and it just stays in our hearts or it goes to other people, it gets ugly quick. You know, what happens is we become entitled at some point. Because when you complain, guess what? You're saying to yourself, I'm a victim, I'm a victim, I'm a victim. And then you start feeling entitled. And entitled people are not pleasant people, right? When you keep complaining, what happens? You turn cynical, more and more cynical. Or when you're complaining and you're not complaining to God, you just turn into an angry person. We got to bring our complaints to God. Call on God. Complain to God. And the third one, cast your burdens on God. We got to make sure that we take this next step. Because if we don't, guess what? Prayer turns into a whining session. We may just see prayer as this time to let it all out. And what ends up happening is we begin to see God as this heavenly therapist where he goes, okay, so tell me what you're feeling inside. You know, let it out. Let out all the negative energy out. And we turn God into that. But thankfully, God is more than that. He's more than a therapist. Prayer is more than that as well. And the key thing is this, and we'll talk about it, but in the process of complaining, and as you complain, you cast your burdens on God. It has to move in that direction. Not only complaining to God, but casting your burdens to God. So that we're not just expressing our burdens, but we're giving them to God. That's very important. Yes, we express them, but we also give them to God. God, he's that wonderful person who says, What's your problems? Tell me your problems. But who also says, let me take care of it. Don't worry about it. He does both. He says, what are your problems? And also, let me take care of it. Don't we love people who are like that in our lives? Who go, don't worry about it. Let me take care of it. I love those kinds of people. When people say that to me, you know, sometimes I'll be vacuuming at church and someone else will grab and say, Pastor, don't do that. I'll take care of it. Oh, bless you, brother. We love people in our lives who go, hey, I'll make that my problem. I'll take care of it. That is the way that God is. In this word, God lovingly, lovingly invites us to dump our problems on Him. He can handle them, and He wants to take them. And perhaps you've been deeply hurt by a family member or a close friend, and there's a lot of feelings going on inside, a lot of emotions. You need healing. You want justice. Casting our burdens on God, it's making our problems His, and it's telling God, fix me and fix the situation and fix the other person. And it's saying at the end of your prayer, you know what, it's not my problem anymore. It's God's, and God gladly takes it. That's exactly what God wants. And I want you guys to apply some gospel logic to this exhortation to cast your burdens on God. Here's the gospel logic. The gospel logic is this. If God took on, through His Son, if He took on our sin and our death, would He not also take on our burdens? If He took on the greater things, would He not take on the lesser things? If He took on the spiritual matters, those grave matters, those eternal matters, would He not also take on the earthly and the temporal matters? And is it not easy for Him? He gladly will take on these things. And so we can cast our burdens on God. And guess what that does? When we do that, it liberates us from our burdens, obviously, but it also wonderfully liberates us from our complaining as well. You just think of the example of actually carrying a burden. Let's say you have a heavy backpack and you're on a hike. It's real heavy, and as the hike gets longer and steeper, what's going to happen? You're going to complain. You're going to complain about even having gone on the hike, that you packed too much. Maybe you should have invested and paid more for the lighter equipment, whatever. You're just going to start complaining as it gets harder and harder, and you start feeling the weight of that heavy backpack. But what if there's this big burly guy who's two times bigger than you, and he's like, hey man, I see you're struggling, and he just takes the backpack off, and he puts it on himself, and it's like nothing for him. And you're walking without your heavy backpack. The burden is lifted, and so is the complaining, right? Can you even complain at that point? You know, you've been liberated. And so, do you realize when you cast your burdens on God, it relieves you of the burden, but it also quiets your complaining. That's why it's so important that we cast our burdens on God. And as I close here, you know, I want us to be thinking about having that confidence that God really does want to bear our burdens. I want us to think about Jesus and how this psalm is actually His own prayer. Jesus suffered like us. If you go back to the psalm and you read it with your Jesus lenses, what do you realize? This is Jesus' prayer as Judas betrayed Him. Oh, how we had sweet fellowship together, walking in God's house together. And yet, You betrayed me. Jesus knows our burdens. He knows what painful betrayal is like. What's so precious about all this is that the one that we cast our burdens onto, that He knows our burdens well. He knows the weight of the burdens that we feel. He knows the pain of betrayal. And here's the thing. Jesus doesn't just know our burdens omnisciently.
We see here she knows it intimately and personally. And when you know the pain of another person, if you know it personally, like you went through the same thing, what happens? A growing compassion for that person, right? Because you know exactly what they're going through. You know exactly what the suffering is. You know exactly how sharp the pain is. Brothers and sisters, how much more so Jesus Christ? Do you realize the one who we cast our burdens to is the one who knows our burdens so well? He so wants to take on our burdens, to love us in that way, to bear it. And so if you have heavy burdens today, it could be relational, it could be a betrayal, it could be something like that, but any burden in general, God is not disinterested. He's very interested in carrying that. Cast it to Him. So let us never forget. Let's call to God. We can complain to God. And let's cast our burdens on God. Let's pray. God, we come to You, and we're so thankful of who You are, that You are our loving Father who delights to bear our burdens and to relieve us of our burdens. Lord, You love us so much. And God, forgive us for just thinking so differently and so wrongly about You. Oh Lord, You've seen us just try to deal with our problems on our own, suffering and going to ugly places of anger and cynicism and all kinds of things. Oh Lord, thank You for Your word, for redirecting us, and I pray, Lord, for those who are feeling the weight of something, who feel like they're being dragged every week through life, that, oh Lord, that they would call on You, that they would feel the freedom to just bring everything to You and to know that You will bear our burdens. God, thank You that we have such confidence as we look to Your Son, who bore the eternal heavy burdens of our sin and death. And so, Lord, all the more, may we give to You all the things that our hearts ache about and struggle with, the things that are so painful. Lord, we give them to You today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.